Okay, Rabbi Say, the batteries died on us. Baruch Hashem, the bird didn't die on us. Okay. But I'm not exactly sure where we left off or where the batteries died. But we're on Daf Lamed Dalid Amid Aleph. And we've just completed approximately the first 40% of the Amid. We're at the two dots where it says Tanya. Just for a short chazara, because I'm not sure where we got stuck or where we left off. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Just like in the case of the Re'ofim Chadoshim, I don't allow you to use it for the first time on Yontif. The Gemara gave two reasons. Either because it may break if you are malabin it in the furnace, and if it breaks, you have been osek betircha on Yontif shelo letzorech, and the Chum didn't want you to do that. After all, it's a yoim menucha, it's a yoim kedusha, it's a yoim to be close to your family, to celebrate, and to celebrate with Hashem. Therefore, we don't want you to engage in tircha shelo letzorech. Or the second reason was, they should tzorech lechasman, because this final putting into the oven is the makib epatish, that'll be the tikkun manah. So from that, we wanted to go and bring a raya to the case of this bird that went through a trauma. Could you go and shecht it lichatchila on Yontif after it lived for 24 hours? Do you say that it has a chazaka that it's kosher, like all birds? Or do you say that you have a reyesa by the fact that it went through this trauma, and therefore there is a greater likelihood that this bird, in fact, has a tarfus in it? So do I concern it? Because if it turns out to be treifa, then I've been osek, I've engaged in a tircha shalei letzayrach. So Rashi says, although all animals and all fowl need a bedika, but bederach klal you can go basarayv, rei behemis einen treifois. However, this bird, it has a reyesa in it. So we wanted to bring a raya from the Re'ofim Chadoshim that here too we have a reyesa. I don't have an automatic chazaka that these Re'ofim Chadoshim will not break, because it doesn't have a chazaka. It's a brand new Re'ofim Chadoshim. So therefore, since it doesn't have that chazaka that it is strong and stable and sturdy, can't use it for the first time. Here too, I don't have a chazaka that this bird will turn out to be good, because there's a reyesa of the fact that it had this trauma. Says he, well, you can't bring a raya. The reason you can't bring a raya is because the Gemara didn't learn like the first pshat, and they should tzarech lebadkan, but because of the second pshat, they should tzarech lechasman. That lechasman only applies to kalim, like the ra'ofim, that you have to be mechazikit to go and the final stage of the manufacture. That has nothing to do with our oifis here, and that's why you cannot bring a raya from our Mishnah. So Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Now we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos. And a few shutfim are getting together to go and cook something on Shabbos. State in the Brice. Echad mevi'es ha'or. One person brought the fire. The echad mevi'es ha'etzim. One person brought the firewood. The echad shofes ha'sagdeira. And one brought the empty pot. And he put it down. The echad mevi'es ha'mayim. And one brought the water to fill in the pot. The echad noyes the toich ha'tablin. And somebody else put in the seasonings. The echad mekis. And now somebody did the stirring. Everybody's going to be chayiv if they did it b'shogeg, a karm chatos on Shabbos. What are they going to be chayiv? So Rashi says it depends. The one that's made the esor, the one that brought the fire, is going to be over on mavir, on havara. The one that brought the eitzim and he puts it into the flames, into the fire, he'll also be chayiv al mavir. The one that is the nosei mayim, puts the water into the pot, the person who adds the tavlin, adds the spices, the person who makes is the one that stirs it up, they'll all be mechuyiv on nevasha. The only real one that we don't know, or we don't understand, is the shofes esagdeir. Shofes esagdeir means to go and take an empty pot, there was no water in it, there were no ingredients, all he did was he put it down on the fire. So what's the isra over there?
Or he put cold water into the keli also, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but he's putting the cold water into the keli, it's going to cook up. That's where it's going to boil eventually. So at some point, the bishul will take place. If he's able to go and pour out the water immediately.
Only if the keli was on the fire when he put on the water.
True. But the person who put the cold water in, since eventually it's going to heat up and it's going to boil,
so the keli is on the fire.
Right, exactly, 100%. But the person who took the keli, he took the empty pot, put it on the fire. Did he do anything wrong? he should have put it away. I mean, eventually this pot might break if it gets overheated. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just get red hot and just don't touch it, because you'll have to show and you burn yourself.
No, you put it on the fire.
We didn't do it. What?
Same thing that the guy put cold water into the...
The pot's already on the fire. Putting water into a pot starts to boil the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... He's not putting the water into the pot before it's on the fire. It's in the whole sequence. The brisa is in sequence.
Okay, that's what we're seeing in a moment. So far, again, and I'm not making this up. If you look at the last few lines of the narrow lines of the Rashi, Kulam Chayav, says Rashi, Kulam Chayav, maybe Saor, the one that brought over the flaming gecholim, why is he oiver? Yishemavir as a gecheles, he's causing even additional havara. In other words, what happens if he took an existing fire? He didn't go and light the fire. He took over the existing fire and he transferred it and transported it. The kishum olicha, he mislabe miruach alichasai. So he is now stirring up the flames and making it burn even brighter and better by having it walk from place to place and having the draft of the wind, you know, act like a bellows to blow up the fire. Or maybe it's eitzim l'or mishemavir. If he's put the eitzim into the fire, of course, havar. Shoif is g'day l'kamei mefarish mayovit. What did the guy do? I just put down the pot. Then he said, my, the tavlin, omegis, mishemabashel. Shafum av malacha. Bishel, of course, ultim av malacha. So they're chayiv als bishel. So all of them are chayav. Well, let's go back to the Gemara. The Atanya, excuse me, achren chayiv v'kulim patur. There's another price that says just the opposite. It's only the last guy. That's the Magus guy. He's the one that's chayv. Everybody else is potter. What's going on? It's the chasir. It's the lekasha, the icy or miyekara, the icy or lebesayt. It depends whether you brought the or initially, and then you put the pot on it, and then you put the ingredients in, then everybody's chayv. What happens if you started off with, you have a person who brought the pot, somebody else put the water in the pot, and somebody else put the tafin in the pot, and somebody else stirred it up. So far, nobody's chayv for anything. Because if you stir up seasonings in a cold water in a pot, nothing happened. You can stir and stir and stir and stir and stir, and that's not a bishul, that's not a cooking. What happens is if after that somebody were to go and light a fire under that pot, he is now doing not only havara, but also he's doing the bishul. So that's why only the last guy is chayv, because he did everything. So
sounds chayv for bishul or for havara?
He'd be chayv for both. As a result of putting the fire in the house, now it's going to cook.
So say chayv shtayim.
Okay, could be taka chayv shtayim. You think that only the last one would be chayv and nobody
at all,
else.
At all, okay.
I'm sorry, yes, Shelley.
Yeah, doesn't stirring the water heat the water?
Doesn't stirring the water heat the water? I guess if he does it vigorously for the next 50 years, I guess eventually it'll become warm and hot. But try it out at home. Everybody should experiment after the shiur is over. Go home.
I happen to know physics, and it does.
Okay.
But not too much.
It doesn't. Not the level of bishul, though.
How hot is it going to get?
I thought it would cool it.
That's a good point. Good point.
Okay. David says that he thinks that sometimes, especially if you started off with hot, and you're going to stir it up, it's going to turn cold. But if you start with cold and stir it up, I'm not sure it's going to get cold. It'll probably warm up a little bit to room temperature. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Is Bishlama says the Gemara, Kuluka Abdi Maisa. I understand everybody participated as a co-conspirator in this Havara and Bishul on Shabbos. I can understand. Now the Shabbos is very much of it. If he took an empty pot and put it on the fire, what did he do wrong? What happened? It's a brand new pot. And we're getting into the Liban Ra'afim case again. Oh, now I know why the Gemara brought this. Just like they were goyzer and asked you to go and use brand new Ra'afim on Yontif. Why? Either because they might break, or because you're going to do the makir, the potash in your manufacturing. Here too. So the Chayyur, this Gemara only goes with the second pshat and not with the first pshat. What's the second pshat? If you're using this pot for the very first time, and therefore, who knows, maybe when you're going to put it on the flame, it's going to have a weak spot, it'll make a little hole, and the water is going to spill out, and it's going to extinguish the flames. In other words, I don't know what the story is going to be with this pot. that would mean more the tzarech lebadkan. The tzarech lechasman means to go and strengthen it so it should be now a full-fledged pot that you can use now for the foreseeable future. Ah, so therefore says Yimor, that's the reason why the person would be chayiv on the placing of the pot on the hot flames, because that's part of the makim bepatish that you are being metakin this kli, that this kli should now be a full-fledged functioning kli, and not abzaza kli each time I'm going to put it on. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Is it going to burst? Is it going to break? Is it going to have a hole? That's the reason why he is chayiv, because he's talking about a kadeira chadosha.
What do you have an issue about being alive in metal and having to give kibber and kibber and kibber?
Yeah.
A pair of yuntafil,
didn't they? No, but they didn't. Jackie, it seems to me that the question is about heating.
They heated up the element before yuntif, and then on the, before the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh, they put it into the mikveh to warm it up, or at least to take out the
chill.
The chill. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So therefore, you probably heard some sizzling when you put it in, but that wasn't the case of Havara of making the Liban. It was already blubbing from before, and now you're just cooling it off.
You're saying, isn't that hardening it?
Yeah.
If that was the first time, yes. In fact, we're going to have a Gemara about that shortly. If this is the first time that you ever use those heating elements, and you're putting them in the cold water, that could be also Kedei L'chasman. Chasman doesn't necessarily have to be yet the final heat solidifies them. Sometimes it's the final cold water that solidifies it. But you were talking about an old element, you know, it's, you use it already for 20 Yom Kippur. Okay. You have a brand new Tanner V'Kiraim. Tanner is typically an oven that only has room for one pot. Kiraim is a larger oven that has room for two pots. So these are brand new. So like all other kelim, hani tolin b'chotzer. Tolin b'chotzer means that they are lying around in my front yard, in front of my house. There's no eruv problem because it's all enclosed, and it's on Shabbos. So if that happens to be a kli which happens to be in my front yard in the chotzer, you can be metalkel it. You can move it around, no problem. I cannot use them on Shabbos to go and cook, says Rashi, but you can use it for storage. Daniel, have a nice day.
Have a good trip.
Thank you. See you next week.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Mitzvah, and I look forward to seeing you as well. So what does it say in the Mishnah? They are all, like all other kelim which you have in the chatzer. If a person has other types of kelim, he has his cups, he has his crockery, he has his cutlery, other things in the chatzer, you can go and pick it up and move it around. And it's not muktz in any way. Tanavikiraim is mentioned. Sorry?
We're talking about
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Yeah. Aren't you going to tell me Tanavikiraim should be muktz?
Right.
Says Rashi, I can use it for storage. So if you look at Rashi, the first wide line down below, Hari Hain, Kechola Kelimani Tolim, Bishabbos, Bechotzer, the Chosul, the Mesiv, Bigavayumidi. I could go and place something in them for storage. I can go and put there my cutlery, it shouldn't get lost. Whatever. So it's not worse than a box. Now, although the price is talking about Chadashim, Rashi says, Kosh Ken Yishonim. Certainly you're talking about old Kalim, then certainly no problem. But continue on. Avol Ein Sochen Oisim Shemen. But you cannot go and smear oil on it. Why would you go and smear oil on it? Rashi says to make it smooth and to polish it. That you can't do. That's part of the manufacturing process. Right? Then you buy new Kalim, it always, there's always a glimmer to it, and it always shines. How does it get that shine? Because they smeared it with something. Vein toshin oisim mematlis. You also cannot go, and toshin says Rashi means shofen. Shofen means also to smooth out and to rub it with a matlis, with a rag, with a shmata, also for purposes of polishing it and making it look nice. Vein refigin oisim mitzoinan. This is what your point was, Brother Shai, a moment ago, that if you have hot elements and you put it into cold, freezing water, then also a mefiganoisim mitzoinin kedei lechasman, to go and strengthen them. So again, depending on the item that we're talking about, sometimes you do that final makkah b'patish by putting it into the furnace, and sometimes that's not the makkah b'patish. The makkah b'patish is when you take it out of the furnace, you put it into the cold water. Fine, so that's, you can't put into the cold water over here, kedei lechasman, to be mechazik it. However, if the reason why you are taking this this pot, this oven, this stove, to go and bake, Hari Zemut. Now, this part in Mishul Lefois cannot be talking on Shabbos, obviously. It has to be talking about on Yom. Because Shabbos, you can't go and bake, you can't go and cook. So therefore, if the reason why you're putting it now B'tzoinan is not for the purpose of L'chasman, but for purposes of Afia for baking, Hariz and Mutter, then it's okay. Looking at the Rashi on the third wide line, V'im L'hafigan, the reason why you want to cool off the red hot, white hot Tanavikarayim, is B'shul Le'afoyz, because you want to bake in them, Shehusku Harbe, very hot. He's worried about if you're going to leave the pas inside this red hot, white hot oven, the pas is not just going to bake, it's going to get burned. That's why he wants it put into the water. Then it's water, because the purpose over here is not to strengthen and be mechazik the fiber of the tana v'kirayim. Your purpose is to go and bake the new pas, and therefore that's permissible. The Gemara is abyssalish there, because the Gemara is saying now, even though the effect of the cold water will be to be chasman, to go and strengthen the stability of this Tana V'Kirayim, and that's okay, as long as this kavana was not lechasman, his kavana was
nidafi. And to steer around the whole tile to the top of the page.
That's what I was waiting for everybody to jump up. Frank Gemara. We started off today's Gemara, repeating the Gemara from yesterday, that the reason why you can't go and use these Re'afim on Yom Tov to go and fry an egg. Why? Because at the same time, it's going to be L'chasman, you're making a kli. But that's not my intention. My intention is to fry the egg. Do I care? You're kli, nish kli, blah, blah, blah. No, it's awesome. So the same thing should be over here. My intention is pure for Afia, Abul Maisa, if it's Chasman. Anyway, this is not only our Kasha, this is the third Kasha, the third Toysis from the top of the Yomid. That was the whole purpose of using the offer in the first place, to go and use it for tzlif, for roasting. So how can you use it over here? Ishani bein ru'ofim l'tana. The Tana kimenu oise al yedei mashkin shani deinu vaday choisman. In other words, when you talk about ru'ofim and you're putting them into that hot furnace, that will certainly, that's a vaday choisman. So it's like a psikration. Mashenkin over here, when you put it into the cold water, it might not. If it might not, then it's already davashen mischaben. If you hold like Reb Shimon, davashen mischaben is mutter. Okay. Pater avalosa of the gabi yontif for simchas yontif to be able to go and cook and be able to bake. It's mutter. So therefore, there's a difference between re'ofim chadoshim and a brand new tana v'kirayim chadoshim. Tana rabbanan. You see, that's why I wanted to start off this gemara from yesterday, because it's all related to the re'ofim chadoshim of our mishnah. Tana rabbanan molginus aroifes aroglayim. We have over here a person who is about to go and cook the head and or the raglayim from an animal, and anybody of you that has been involved in cooking knows that whether you're cooking an animal or even cooking a chicken, you typically have, in the case of a chicken, you have the feathers or you have the little hairs, and you want to get rid of all of those hairs. So what do? Mulgin means to go and pour very, very hot water on them to weaken them, to be able to easily pluck out the hairs, or the hairs will fall out. So mogin es aroish ves aragolim, aragayim, you're allowed to go and pour hot water on the roish and aragayim. The first we're talking about is it dafka roish and aragayim, is it the rest of the body as well? Umahavin oisem ba'ori, who can also remove the unwanted hairs by singeing them over the flame. Aval ein toifan oisem becharsis, but you can't go and put a paste on it, made out of charsis, made out of broken shards of earthenware, v'loy badama, or another type of paste. In other words, just like Lahavdil, many years ago, people would go and shave. Before they had shavers, they had such a depilatory that they used to go and put on their faces.
From a taste in there.
Yes, in Eretz Yisrael, there's still people do it. Here, very few people, but maybe there are some that do it. But Eretz Yisrael, many of the
Bnei Torah. It's painful.
Oh, boy, is it painful. And all that, you can, and you can get a scar for the next week if you left it on for a minute too long. You get red blotches all
like
over.
That.
Anyway, but here we're talking about removing the hairs, not of a person, but from the animal. So, Ein Toif L'Becharis V'L'Badoma. V'Loi B'Sid. B'Sid is also with a plaster, with a tit, whatever. V'Ein Goizen Oysim Esbraim. You also cannot go and shear off the hair with a scissors. V'Ein Goizen is a Yerek with Tispar Shalai. Now we leave animals, and now we're talking about Yerek vegetables, that you also want to trim the vegetables, particularly if on top some of the leaves or whatever are not totally fresh. You want to be gozes, you want to cut it. You can't use it with Tispar Shalai with its own special scissors. Aval, but something that you are allowed to do is misaklin es akundis vies achbiyos. Rashi says kundis abachbiyos are mina yurokis, different types of vegetables. Sheish toirach b'tikunan. These are not your average simple vegetables. You cut up a carrot and you put it into the water and you add some sugar and then you have tzimis. To cook kundis and achbiyos, you have to make a ganze tzimis. That's a difficult vegetable to go and cook. You're allowed to do that on yontif. Umasikin v'oifin b'porni, and you're allowed to go and heat up and bake inside a porni. What's a porni? Those are very large tanurim, Rashi says, and as opposed to the tanur and kirayim that you usually have in the Gemara, where the opening is on top, Rashi says they're like tanurim shalonu, or piyam b'tzidam, just like our ovens that we open up the oven door on the side. Very few people today have ovens that you open up the lid on top. You open up the oven from the side, you put your stuff in, and then you close the oven up. So that's what a porni is, says Rashi. And you can go and heat up hot water in a antichi. Antichi is like a very large water heater, similar to the one like we have here for coffee, lamushel. It used to be up here, and now it's downstairs in the basement. So antichi, that's a very, very large keli. You might think, person is making so much hot water. Probably he's doing it for tomorrow and the day after, and it's Bimeich and Yontov. No, you don't have that concern. Maybe there will be 100 people coming to the shir, and everybody will want a coffee. So you're allowed to go and heat up water in even in this such an antichi, such a large water heater. Ve'in oifin b'poni chadasha, but you cannot go and bake with a brand new oven, shema tifachis, because maybe it will break. There'll be a pchas, says Rashi. Like we said at the very top about the Ra'ofim, Sirashi, 6 lines, 7 lines on the bottom, Tipachis, first word on the line, Al Desh Chadoshi, since it's brand new, Benim Tetzershul Yitzarech, if it's going to go and break and burst, because this is the first time you checked it out, guess what? Then you can have a Tirchosh, Yitzarech, and that's what we said, Ra'ofim Chadoshim. That was the first reason you can't use Ra'ofim Chadoshim, that's why I don't use a Porni Chadoshah. Use it at least once or twice before Yontif, so you know that it works and it's not going to break or crack. Tanur Bar, you're making a fire for purposes of cooking on Yontif. A noifchen b'mapuach, if you want to stir it up and make it become flamedic, really nice and a real flameful fire. A noifchen, you cannot go and blow it up with a professional bellows, Rashi said, because that's like a maisa uman. Mais uman, it looks like an uman that's doing malacha, therefore you have to make a shinui. You can go and take a tube or a straw or something similar and blow on it. That you can do. You can think to yourself, you can just blow on it without a shfaferis. Apparently if you use such a tube, if you use such a straw, whatever, then you focus the blowing in one place and maybe it has a better effect in terms of... It's a shinui. And you're not allowed to go and take a shpud which was broken and fix it. It would depend l'choira on whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that machshirei mitz machshirei oichal nefesh are all to deichas yontif. So Rashi points that out l'choira, it goes like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Rashi says it could also even go according to Rabbi Yehuda if this spit already broke on erev yontif. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're only allowed to go and fix machshirei oichal nefesh on yontif if they broke on yontif. But if it broke the day before, fix it the day before. You had time in Erev Yontif to go and break it, to fix it. If you didn't fix it then, you cannot fix it on Yontif. Bein Mechanan Oysa, you also cannot go and sharpen the spit. Again, you should have done it on Erev Yontif, and you shouldn't do it now on Yontif. Tanur Rabbanan, A mafatzin is a kana litzleis boy maliach. A mafatzin is a egois be matlis vein choishin shema tikoreh. What is all of this about? A mafatzin is a kana litzleis boy maliach. You want to go and put maliach, which is fish, onto a griddle to go and roast it. The problem is, if you put it directly on the griddle, it's going to go and burn. So you usually go and put something in between to protect it from burning. And if you remember, we had already this concept in a Mishnah earlier on. Which Mishnah? Back on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. That was a Mishnah we learned on Shabbos. You see the second wide line in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Ein Shoivin Es Acheretz, Vein Choitchen Haniyor, Litzlois Boy Meliach. You're now going to go and break shards, you're now going to go and cut something like paper to act as kind of the intermediary between the griddle down below and the fish up above. And Rashi explained the reason is because the fish may burn, and therefore you put this. Rashi refers to the English word griddle or the French word griddle. Look at the Rashi, it's about a third from the top of the Amid. Ain't Shoivin on Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Ain't Shoivin es Acheres, Kishitzoilin Dogim Halo Askala, Shekoyin Griddle Balaz. Choychim Konim, you go and take some reeds, Bekash, or some straw, Shibolim. Oy Shoivin Charosim, you break some Cheres. Oy Choychim Niyar, Beshoirin Bid Mayim, then you go and dip it into the waters, it should become soaking, it should become nice and wet. And the Soydin on Niyar al Gavi Askala, and you put it on top of the griddle. So here too, here you didn't use your charosis, your cheres, or your niyar. Here you're using a kana. So it says, "Emefatzin the kana." You now let it go and trim the kana and make it all nice and pretty and all that. This is by Meliach to go and put it under the fish for purposes of the roasting, just like it says over there. In Shorben as a cheres, you want to do it before Yontif. Don't do it on Yontif itself. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the machshirei oichel nefesh are doichi yontif, but if you could do it from erev yontif, you got to do it from erev yontif. So prepared in advance, so you don't have a problem. What is the problem? Were you to do it on yontif itself? Rashi says it's a tikkun kli. You're being masakin a kli. Now you'll recall that Barry asked yesterday that for purposes of tumah v'tahara, the chayyim has to have a clay kibbul. So we already said yesterday, but I want to reinforce when we talk about tikkun kli on yontif, any type of thing which now becomes an item of utility, the chachamim call a kli. The mashal we had before, if a person makes a toothpick, that's considered to be a kli. Going and tearing a piece of paper or something like a paper and putting it on top of the griddle, that's considered to be making a kli. We talked about making a psila, making a wick to go and a wick is a kli, that's a kli kibble. Psila is a wick that you just go in, it's a piece of cotton, you put it into the oil, and boom, and then you light it. Ain't choicha is a psila because you're making a kli. So the word kli over here is used, it's a much broader definition than the term kli that we use for tumah v'tahara. Here it doesn't have to have kli kibbul. Anything that has, that you have produced or manufactured, something that has utility, you're not going to do that on yontif. So, ein mafatzin sakana litzlos bei maliach, you can't go and take and trim nicely the kana to make, to put it down under the maliach. You can't do that because you're being taken kli. Avu mafatzin is egois ben matlis. You can, however, go and break open the egois, the nuts with a matlis, with a rag. Now, normally if you take a rag and you throw it at a nut, it's not going to accomplish anything. However, what we're talking about is over here, you have a bunch of nuts, lemushel, on the table, and you want to break them, and you want to bang them with your hand. You don't have a professional nutcracker. They're busy dancing in the opera. Sorry, what were you saying? Yeah.
I have a feeling all the time. When I see a bunch of nuts, I want to crack them open.
With your hand.
Walnuts.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Goes in para.
Exactly. So, what's so special about Gozi Perach? One of the six things that couldn't be Yochanan, which never becomes bottles. Very good, beautiful. What's the next one on the list? Rimoine Bada. Right? Good, but anyway, let's get back to Agmar. Amafatim Esse Egois Bematlis. So, to protect your hand, presumably, from getting hurt, you put a shmata on top, and then you start banging. Isn't that a good idea? So you don't have to worry about...
I thought it would take, you put it in the shmata and you bang it against the wall or the floor.
Okay, but that's apparently not the way they did it. The ain choishin shem tikore, you don't have to worry that maybe as a result of banging the nuts inside the rag, that the rag may tear. Why? Because it's not number one, it's not necessarily a psik reshe. But Rashi says the film nekras liyichbas lan, even if it does tear, doesn't bother me. The ain't zekarei almanas litfar. You're not being korei almanas litfar. So therefore, it's not an av malacha where it has a positive thing. Rather, it's your mekalkol lematlis. And even though a mekalkolin is potter av a loser, but because you're doing it for yontif, you have a tvoich hanefesh, and therefore the chum said it's mutter, and you're allowed to be mevatze es egoz lechachal.
Yes, but can you be makim akadish? If you cover the egozim with matlis, can you hit it with the hammer, makim akadish?
That's a very good question. In other words, literally a makim akadish. So that's, and of course, that's not our Gemara. However, the Gemara does say elsewhere that you can use a kli shemalachti leiser letzorech heter on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And I believe, therefore, that the halacha allows you to go and use a hammer to go and break open your nuts. However, since this is not a halacha shir, it's just a gemara shir, please consult with the Shulchan Aruch or with your competent Orthodox rabbi who will guide you accordingly. But here the concern was not the makim patish, but the concern was the tearing of the matlis. And the gemara said, that doesn't bother me, because even if it does tear, it doesn't... It's not a Kareel Manas Litfor, so it's not an Issa Malacha D'Yeraisa. Maximum D'Rabbanim that he's Makalkel. Okay. Mishum the Oichel Nefesh is Mut. On to the next Mishnah. The Oid Omer Reb Lezer. Why does it say the Oid? Because back on Lamed Gimel Omer Aleph, we had a similar Mishnah which began Reb Lezer. Oime Noitel Adam Kisem, you're allowed to do this, that, and the other thing. So it says Reb Lezer. It says the Oid Omer Reb Lezer. What's the Oid Omer Reb Lezer? Oymed Odom al Hamukta Erev Shabbos Bishvias. Ooh, a Friday in the Shemitah year. And of course, as you know, we are today in the Shemitah year. So now you have, it's Erev Shabbos, and the person is standing next to the Mukta. What means the Mukta? So Rashi says we're talking about peiros that are drying out in the field or on the roof. It's during the summer months, and he wants them to dry out to be able to eat fruit. Now, if they are fully dried out, they're no longer mukzah, because people eat those fruits. Either he expressly had in mind, or implicit. He knows that after a week or two lying out in the sun, they're going to be dried and everything is fine. Here, however, says Rashi, it's talking about a situation where they are not fully dried yet. They're only 75%, 90%, and some people who are more finicky will say, no, it's not dried out, it's still a little moist. And the others say, no, it's okay, don't be such a finicky, come on. That's the last Rashi. We're talking about these payers that require hazmana. Hazmana ma'elis, then the hazmana will work. What is that case? Keep going, achsi v'lo yachsi, d'yom bein son. We had this a few blad ago, back on Daf Chavav, that for some people it's royalty, and for some people it's not. It just really depends. There's no objective standard, it's a subjective thing. Some people are a little bit more finicky and they won't eat, some people will. Okay, so therefore, since some will and some won't, to be able to use this on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you have to go and be mazmin it in advance, otherwise it's mukta, since a lot of people don't eat. So you have oymen odom lemukta, person can stand next to this patch of drying fruit on Erev Shabbos, on a Friday, Bishvias in the Shemitah year, V'oimer, and he can go and declare, Mikan ani oichel lemachar, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. Why does the Mishnah insist on talking about Shemitah year? After all, there are six other years of every Shemitah cycle. Isn't it the same concern that these peiros are muktzah, because not everybody eats from it yet? So it should just say, you can stand there on a regular Erev Shabbos and say, Mikan Yoich Lamacher, I'm here by mazminit, by saying I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. What? So on top, Rashi already addresses this, and we're going to see this more in the Gemara, especially in the end of the Omud. Look at the top, Rashi, Erev Shabbos Vishvias. She'ein Masa Noigba. As we know, there's no Trumas and Maisis Vishvias. Vein Mechusel Hazmana. Oh, the only thing that we are missing now is Hazmana. Who I didn't but most. So what's bothering Rashi? What's bothering Rashi is, since you're only machuyev on trumas and maisris after the gemar malacha by these fruits is the fact that they are drying in the sun. So when they are fully dried, now they're machuiv and trumas and maisers. As long as they are still bubbling and boiling and drying in the sun, but they're not finished yet, there's no chiv trumas and maisers yet. So if this fellow is going to stand at Erev Shabbat and say, Abayisai, right after the chulent, for kumpot, for dessert, we're going to eat from these newly sunned, ripened fruit. They're not fully ripened, but they're 95%. Come on, we're not a fussy family, you know, we eat things. Yeah. So therefore, he's masmin it, and we'll be able to eat it tomorrow. How can you eat it tomorrow? There's a din of trumas and maisers. You won't be able to go and eat it unless you go and give it trumas and maisers. So therefore, Rashi says, our mission wanted to get out of that parsha of the trumas and maisers and only talk about inyan of muktziya, muktzi nation. So we're talking about shvias. There's a moratorium, there's a suspension on trumas and maisers. My only concern now is only concern of muktzi and not a concern of maiser.
Would people in the time of the Mishnah not be metakin their peros before they dry them out?
And that's the next shikl. Continue on the Rashi. Vuadin, the same thing would apply bin Ma'usr. Ubashar Shnei Shavuot. The Mishnah didn't have to talk about Shemitah. It could talk about any one of the 7 years in a case where it was Ma'usr before he put it on the field.
Or in the roof.
I'm sorry, on the roof. Yeah, yeah. He's just telling us the normal way of things. Typically, when you're talking about drying out figs or drying out grapes, they typically were not ma'aser them. The groigris utzimukin hein stam mukza mein regin la'aser koidim gemar melacha. It was not the custom to go and give trumas and maisers immediately as soon as you cut the figs from the tree or the grapes from the vine, but they used, since if they're going to use it fresh, then presumably as soon as they brought it was roi panei abayis, roi panei chatzah, they gave it immediately. But here they were not prepared yet to go and eat because they want to dry it out. So the Gemara Malach is after the drying, so they didn't give trumas and maisers until it's all over. But you're right. A person who decided to give Maaser earlier on, that Mishnah could be talking about any year of the Shemitah cycle.
Isn't the Chiv only at Gemar Melacha?
The Chiv is only then, but you could give it earlier. If you give it earlier, then it's Chal. In fact, if you remember, we had not too long ago, if a Levi was Makdim Bishibolim and took it before it was processed, and he took his Maaser, then he has to go and give Trumas Maaser, and it's Tevel, unless and until he gives his trumas mice, and you're not allowed to go and eat from it. It wasn't even Gemar Melacha yet. But once you give it a shein Gemar Melacha by your actions, then you could give the trumas and mice before. You could trigger it. So the chiyuv is taka Gemar Melacha. But the kiyum is already whenever you decide to go and give your trumas and mice. And so Rashi continues on. Va'oimer mikanani oichel machar. What does that accomplish? He looks at a large patch on his roof or on his field, and he sees that there are 100 such groigers in Tzimukim. They're only going to eat 10 tomorrow. He doesn't have to select the individual ones. He just says, that's already enough. Because tomorrow when I pick up, whichever I'm going to pick up, I'm going to take it. However, the Chum say, no, he has to yirshim, he has to make some sort of mark. Rashi the Siman the Ein Breira. No, the Chum don't hold it in a Breira. And therefore, if you want to go and be mazmin them, you can't look at 100 of them. You have to take 10 of them and say, you know, that first row on the right hand side, which has 10, those are ones that be mazmin, but you can't go and just say carte blanche all 100. Okay. Zokti Mar, Tanan Hasim. Tinoikus shetomnu te'enim me'erev Shabbos v'shokchu v'loy Israel. You have tinoikus, young kids. Rashi says, lav dafka, young kids. The same thing applies to adults. They went and they took te'enim and they hid them from Erev Shabbos for purposes of eating on Shabbos. What the Rashi is going to tell us, which we'll see in a moment, is a major chidush that we're not generally familiar with. Normally we think, like Mendy was saying before, what triggers the chiyav of trumas and maisers, the gemar melacha, and when it's roya pnei habayis or roya pnei achotzer, that combination together, that's the combination for the nation to make it mechuyav and trumas and maisers. This Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Masechtas Maisers, that there's another way of upgrading even of gemar melacha fruits or vegetables or tvua. The way of upgrading them that even if they're not roye pnei habayis or pnei hachotzer, they could also become mechuyev in trumas and maisris if the gemar melacha already took place, if they intend eating it on Shabbos. If you intend eating it during the week, explains Rashi, you eat it b'derech aroi, that's okay, because it wasn't roi p'nei habayis, roi p'nei hachotzer. However, on Shabbos, even if you're taking it derech aroi, just like a nash, Shabbos also uplifts it, meaning that Shabbos is the religious equivalent, for these purposes, of the roi p'nei habayis, or roi p'nei hachotzer, that now we trigger the chiyuv of giving trumas and maisros. What happened over here was the tinoikis hid the te'enim from Friday. They put them aside because they wanted to, in fact, go and use them on Shabbos. B'shakchu, and they forgot about them. And number one, they didn't eat from them. V'le'osru, they also didn't give the trumas and maisros from them. Presumably, when we say v'le'osru, they didn't give trumas and maisros from Erev Shabbos, because you're now going to give trumas and maisros on Shabbos, as we know, midrabanan, because of
tikkun
mechzikin tikkun mechzikin. Very good. Aha. Okay. So therefore, what happens now? Matzah Shabbos lo yoichlu. They're not allowed to go and say, okay, well, we didn't eat it on Shabbos, so we're going to eat it b'derech aroi, because after all, it wasn't aroi p'nei achpais, aroi p'nei achotzer, and we didn't eat it on Shabbos, so we can, lo yoichlu kedisru. The fact that you were mazmin it for Shabbos, that already gave it the upgrade, that it's like roi p'nei achotzer, p'nei achpais, and it's mechul yitrum, it's a maizis, and you can't even eat it post Shabbos until and unless you give ice. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Gemara, you see the third narrow line. Tanakh Shitamnu Ta'inim. Besada in a field, Gina in a garden. Lachiles Shabbos. They want to eat on Shabbos. Vishakhu, Vlo Yisru, Lo Yoichu. Viavagav the Kaimulan, Aina Temu Vishaiba Maisal Uichu Akrisaray Achir Penea Bayez, Openea Chotzer. But above Matzi it says, Achiles Shabbos Chashuva. Because Shabbos is so choshuv. Varoy Shalah. Even eating a nash, how do you care? But that's a kvitz. Varihutmanu lachilas Shabbos v'hukvu. Therefore, it's mechuyev and trumas amais. So why does our Mishnah talk about tenoikis? Why the nakat tenoikis rabusi? It's a chiddush. The Ashminim. The yesh lem machshava al yidei mais amechiyach. I might think, come on, tenoikis, little babies. What do they care? What halachic status do they have? It's a chkunish. No. If their machshava may be nothing. But mit amaisa that they were toming it, they put it aside. Ukermin makol shoychet. Uteinim dovish enigma malachtenu. Te'enim, we're talking about that it's already finished product. Elam kechishav alei lektzias. Unless you decide you're going to put it out on the roof or the garden, whatever. Or the groigers. V'shaminim ina bedovish enigma malachtoi. Shabbos koivas lamaisish beloi riyas penei abayis. U bedovish enigma malachtoi loy shaminim. That's only bedovish enigma malachtoi. Like the te'enim, which you're not going to make into ktzias. Or the finished groigers, which you already made into ktzias. It's already a finished product. Nigma malachtoi Shabbos is the same equivalent like roi p'nei habayis. What's it in by loyning malachtoi? Loy shemin, that I don't know yet. Ikova loy kova. The reason why Rashi tells that to us, because that's the introduction to the next gemara. So far, what we've learned from Masechtas Maisros is that Shabbos, when you have produce that was already gemar malacha, but was not roi p'nei habayis or p'nei achotzer, the intention and the Maisa of putting it away for Shabbos that elevates it, upgrades it, and now it's Mechuyev and Trumas and Maisos. Utananam, we have another Mishnah now, says the Gemara. Again, a Mishnah Masechtas Maisos. Hamavet Te'enim B'chatzeirai. Liktzois. What happens if a person, the word Mavir over here is not like a Lashon of carrying, it really means scattering or spreading Te'enim in his Chatzer. Liktzois. So that it should become ketzios. In other words, that it should go and dry out. They can eat from it derech aroi, because since it's not gemar malacha yet, so there's no chiv and trumas and maisis, you can eat it derech aroi. Even if, forget, you're right. Here it was the roi p'nei achotzer p'nei habayis, but here we didn't have the gemar malacha. Since we didn't have malacha, it's pot. So far, so good. Rav asked Rav Nachman the following shayla: Shabbos mal shetikova muktza lemaiser bedovish leining malachtoi. Ooh, the case that we had on top by the tinoikos, that was talking about something that was gemar malacha. It just wasn't right b'nei abayis. So we said Shabbos is the equivalent. Now we're talking about something that loy nigmar malachtei, because we're talking about muktza. What's muktza? Like we said on the Amud Aleph, these te'enim or groigers, whatever, that are sun drying but not finished yet. They're still muktza. You got to be mazmin them, like we had in the Mishnah. So ma'ushin yikova muktza lemaiser bedovish loy nigmar malachtei. Would you go and say that Shabbos ma'ushin yikova? Would Shabbos also elevate and upgrade something which is loynigma malachtoi, that we should say now that it's mechuyev betrumas amaisis? Is it only in the case of the te'enim that was a finished product, or even by a non-finished product? So tomorrow, mi amrinen, kibin dechsev across the Shabbos oynig, kova, that's presumably the mekoyev for Rashi, that Rashi says, achilas Shabbos chashuva, varoy shaloh hari hukeva. That's what we quoted in the Rashi before. Presumably from this pasuk, the cross the Shabbos oinik, anything that you call for Shabbos, for food, etc., is oinik, and therefore kova, it's koveya, and it's mechayiv in trumais and maisres, even by filib edavish leinim malachtoi that was not roye panei abayis. Oy edil edavish leinim malachtoi kova, because it's the equivalent of a chadzer. If you spread out the te'enim in a chotzer and it was not nigma malacha, it's not mechuyah. So therefore, bottom line, the Gemara wants to know is, Shabbos, is that the halachic equivalent of roya p'nei abayis, or is it even better than roya p'nei abayis? Better than roya p'nei chotzer. Chotzer, if you brought in tvua, peiros, produce which is not nigma malach, and you bring it into the chotzer of bnei abayis, still not mechuyev, because you have to have from gemar malacha and right bnei abayis. So we already said before that if it's nigma malach, even though it was not roi bnei chotzer, but the fact that it's coming Shabbos and I'm preparing it for Shabbos, that upgrades it's already now mechuyev betrumas amayis. So Shabbos is din as chotzer. Yeah, but what happens if you had in mind to use the muktzah peiros? Those peiros which are not fully sun-dried yet. They're 90% of the way. And, like we said in the Mishnah, you could be mazmin them to eat it. Yeah. But what happens if now you intend using it for Shabbos? It's not roi p'nei chotzer, not roi p'nei abayis, there's no gemar malacha, but Shabbos chashuva, it upgrades it. So maybe it's mechuyev and trumas and maisis just because of Shabbos alone, even though it's loy nigmar malacha. Amalei. So he responded, this is Rava asking Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said back to Rava, Shabbos kevas, bein medavish nigmar malachtei, bein medavish loy nigmar malachtei. So Shabbos is even more an effective trigger than peroyeh p'nei abayis or p'nei achotzer. She said Rava, who said, Homolei, the aim of Shabbos, to me the chotzer. Shabbos is maybe just the same as chotzer. Ma chotzer ni kevas el medavish nigmar malachtei. Av Shabbos, medavish nigmar malachtei. How do you know? So Rav Nachman says, I don't have any raya from a pasuk. Amalei limud orachu biyadeinu. Limud orach is an unusual term, but it means we have a mesorah, we have a kabbalah. That's how I learned from my rebbe, and that's how my rebbe learned from his rebbe. Shabbos koyvas bein bedavish enigma malachtei bein bedavish enigma malachtei. That's the strength of the karosel Shabbos oinig, that the call to use these foods for Shabbos, that is such a major event that it's even stronger than a chotzer and a bayis, and even if it's a davar shelo nigmar malachtoi, it gets elevated, upgraded, and it's mechuyev and trumas amaisus. So far, this is fascinating. How did we get into this whole sugya? Let's bring it right from our Mishnah. A person stands on the muktzah, meaning next to these not fully ripened fruits yet, on Friday, Bishvius, in the Shmita year. And now the Gemara is Medayik, like we were Medayik when we learned the Mishnah. Time of the Shvius, the whole reason, because it's the Shmita year. The Lav Bar Isurihu, because it's not Mechuyev and Maisus. However, any other year of the Shmita year cycle, I'd have another problem besides the Muktzah problem. What problem would I have? I can't eat this on Shabbos because of the fact that it's going to become Mechuyev and Trumas and Maisres. And does look to Gemara. That's why the Mishnah insists on talking about Erev Shabbos B'Shvias, where there is no Maiser issue. There's only a Muktzah issue. Okay. He says, Mekani Noit Lamachar. That takes care of the muktzah issue. But b'shnei shavua, shnei shavua, this would not be effective, because in addition to going and saying, Rabbi Yisai, I intend using these tomorrow, mikana ninoitel or ad sheyirshayim, he also has to give trumas amaisis. If he doesn't, he's not going to eat it. He's a hachan amid da'aser. So what do I see from this? That even my fruits, which are loy nigma malachtoi, because that's what the case we're talking about, the muktzah means, Rashi says, the achsi v'loy achsi, it's not fully ripened yet, not fully sun-dried yet, so therefore it's not nigma malachtoi yet. Nevertheless, on Erev Shvius or on Erev Shabbos in Shvius, yes, you can be mazmin. You don't have to worry about Trumas and Maisris. And by the fact that you were mazmin, there's no muktzah issue. But Mishnah Shishnevua, we couldn't say this Mishnah, because besides muktzah issue, we have the issue of Trumas and Maisris. It's time to Shvius, La Bar Suru, Mishnah Shishnevua, Hachinam and Osir. So the Choyah have a star karayataka, my time of, what's the reason? La Mishim the Shabbos Kava. It must be because of the Kedusha Shabbos, the great holiness, the great Madrega of Shabbos, Gross of Shabbos Oinik. That's so Choshev, and that's what propels it and upgrades it. Shibim Choyiv Trumas and Isis. So it's more like Nishkarai. Shani Hosam Kimin the Omar Mikanani Oichel Amacher Kavale Ilave. What the Gemara now is doing somewhat of Talmudic hair splitting and saying, no, it's not because of Shabbos. It's because of his declaration. If you look at the first wide line of Rashi all the way down below, Shani Hosam, Diyu Achshava B'diburoi Shekora Achila. Many other people would say, give it another week or two. Come on, it's not fully dried yet. Come on. By his saying, no, we're going to eat it tomorrow, that was Machshiv, these peirois, so that they're no longer considered to be non-Gemar Malacha. His Dibur now elevated them. So it's not because of Shabbos. It's because of his Dibur. So the obvious question is, so what is the Nafkimina? Nafkimina is very simple. What happens if it's not Friday talking about Shabbos? It's Sunday he's talking about Monday. Or Monday talking about Tuesday. Yehochi ma'iri Shabbos v'il b'chol nami. Let's talk about it's Monday morning. We're about to finish the shir. He goes out into his field. Tomorrow we're going to go and eat from these peirois. Based on what, if it's, of course, this year is a Shemitah year, so then this halacha wouldn't apply. But if it would be a non-Shemitah year, the Gemara is saying maybe that would elevate and upgrade these peirois, not because it's Shabbos tomorrow, it's only going to be Tuesday tomorrow, but because of his dibur, he was machshavit, to go and say, I'm ready to eat. If I'm ready to eat, it's like a Gemara Malacha. It's like a Gemara Malacha. Shoyin? So there's mechuyev and trumas amayis. I have nothing to do with Shabbos. So therefore we cannot go and be poishit our shayla. So by the fact that our Mishnah talks about Shabbos and not by Chol, it sounds like it's not the Dibur. It sounds like it's the Shabbos issue. So you want no. Chol Kamashul, and the reason why we're talking about Shabbos as opposed to Chol, the Tevel Muchen Hu Eitzel Shabbos, Shem Ovra V'Tiknoi Mitukan. It comes to tell you a Milza Agav Urche Kamashmalan. What's that Milza Agav Urche Kamashmalan? That once you were Mazmin them for Shabbos, even though it is, you're right, it's Tevel, in Shar Shnei Shavua, when it's not Shemitah year, don't think, oh boy, I have now a Shemitah problem, not a Shemitah problem, a Meiser problem, and a Muktzah problem. It comes to tell you that Tevel Muchen Hu Eitzel Shabbos, once it's going to be Shabbos, and what happens if the person is going to be Oiver, and he's going to Mesaken it, says Rashi, I might think that should be Muktzah Machmas Isur. What is the Isur involved? The Isur is you're not allowed to be Mafish Trumas and Maestris on Shabbos.
That's a Ketikin Mana.
Oh, says Rashi, when do I say Muktzah Machmas Isur if the Isur is a Doiraisa Isur? Here, this Isur is only a Drabanon. It's Rabbanon, so Minat Torah, it's not Muktzah. Since it's not Muktzah, that's what the Mishnah
is
going to
tell you. There's no Muktzah in the Torah anyway. Wait, that Torah is not Muktzah. Muktzah is a Takanas Rabbanon, the people should be Mekaltel.
Absolutely.
So there's one no Muktzah in the Raisa. There's no such thing as Muktzah in the Raisa.
Shkayach. But one of the categories of Muktzah is, you have Muktzah Machmas Chasar and Kids. Here you have Muktzah Machmas Mius. You have a Muktzah Machmas Isur. What's Muktzah Machmas Isur? The fact that this thing is Osir to do, asr to use like a hammer unless you're cracking nuts. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do it. Mukzah machmas isr. I'll see you mentioned in a week. Yep, it's aigi bench. So mukzah machmas isr is mukzah. So sol kadaitzach over here. The only way that you can metaken it is by being mafresh shumas and maisis. Since you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos and Yontif, therefore it's a mukzah machmas isr. Kamash malon that it's not mukzah midrabanan. Why not? Because since the isr over here is an only isr derabanan, it's not an isr deraisa. Then the Chum said that's not a mukzah machmas isr, and therefore it would be muchan. You would be able to go and use it. Kamash malon the tevel muchan waits for Shabbos. There is no mukzah issue. Shemavim v'tiknoi mitukan. Mitchum will continue vayta tomorrow.
Approximately 8 o'clock.